Good afternoon, everyone. This is James and Yoshi here for a special Project Flux. We're here to unpack the big announcement from OpenAI just for a few minutes, sort of 10, 15 minutes or so. OpenAI dropped a huge one yesterday, didn't they, Yoshi, with the release of what they're calling GPT Omni. Everyone initially thought, let's start with the fact that everyone initially thought this was going to be the search engine or some kind of memory feature or something. Is there some disappointment?
There is some disappointment in terms of what we were expecting. I mean, GPT-5 building on the overseas, pushing the frontier. But I think they've moved about it in a very smart way. And in regards to search, I don't think Sam even likes using the word search. I think it was more like an answer engine or a knowledge engine, right? So there might be some new things that are coming out, but we'll see.
Well, I think that's still coming. I think this is a stopgap, and I think this is all about the placement of the Google announcement that's due any time now, and the Apple announcement. So that I think a lot of this is just getting something out there, and I think there's still a lot to come. I think there's still GPT-5 they're working on. I know some people are saying, is this it? Is this GPT-5? No, I don't think this is it. This is exactly what they call 4.0. It's a version of 4. It's a much better performing version of GPT-4. And it's doing some pretty cool things, which we'll talk about in a minute. But I don't think this is it. I think there's more announcements to come from OpenAI. So let's talk about what they announced yesterday. Initially, they talked about the fact that, you know, we're going to get a desktop ChatGPT app, which is pretty cool. I think it's rolling out for Mac users to start with, which I think was really weird, right? They announced this that, you know, they're meant to have this partnership with Microsoft, yet the initial desktop app is only coming out the Mac first. What's going on there?
Well, keep in mind, there's a potential deal with Apple, right, that OpenAI are currently going through, and it could be looking at, mixing some of those capabilities with Siri, right?
Yeah.
So there's complexities around the different partnerships and collaborations they have. But I think they're starting to build those connections. So they build a moat. And I think that's what they're doing at the moment.
But if I was Microsoft, I'd be like, hang on, I've invested all this money in you, and yet you're making it available to one of our biggest competitors, first of all. Just a bit of a strange one, I didn't quite understand. But I'm sure there's reason behind it. And I'm sure it's to do with this.
Yeah.
Like you say, this Apple announcement that's going to be coming, it's basically going to be built into, this is going to replace Siri, right, I think is where this is going.
Yeah. And remember as well, because I saw someone mention that Steve Cook would never do this, right?
Yeah. Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs would never do this, right? And Tim Cook is doing it with Apple. But remember, going way back when, Apple never actually developed Siri. That was bought. And so was their hosting of iCloud servers within Amazon, right? Yeah. So they do these things because we're getting to a certain point whereby democratizing and open source and development is becoming a lot more popular. Yeah. And putting the developers in the driving seat to kind of unlock some of those new innovations, I think, is key at the moment. And I think that's what a lot of big tech companies are starting to recognize.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, they can't just sort of, I think it's quite clever. They're not tying themselves down just to Microsoft. You know, yes, they're invested in by Microsoft, but, you know, they're definitely flirting with anyone who will have them by the looks of things. So that's pretty cool. But the other big, so before we get into the voice stuff, which is just the mind-blowing stuff, and we've got some clips of that in a minute, let's just talk about some of the features of this Omni. So first of all, the desktop app is coming out, so we're going to get a new UI. It's going to look a lot better. It's going to be easier to use because it has started to feel a bit clunky compared to Claude, Anthropic Claude, and Gemini. This is quite amazing. It's coming for free, effectively. So all the features, apart from the voice, you know, this new model Omni is free. So it makes you wonder what the people who are on the paid plan, you know, what are they going to get for the paid plan? I think they get the desktop app. I think they get the voice, but effectively everyone's going to be able to have full access to this incredibly powerful model. I think that's intentional as well, isn't it? I think they can see the competition.
That has to be intentional. I mean, there's been a few rumors, right? So one of the rumors is that, yes, they're trying to push everyone to the free version. Is that because they're going to be releasing something more advanced in the future, maybe GPT-5? So if you actually look at when you can choose between the different engines or different models, even when you search for ChatGPT, it used to say GPT-4, our most advanced model. Now it just says advanced model.
Yeah.
You can look into that as you want, but there's many different things that are kind of telling.
Yeah.
But equally, I know they mentioned that Plus users get 5 times higher limits. There is early access to the Mac feature. But equally, you could look at it in this kind of angle and said, okay, they're democratizing, they're opening up GPT-4o to everyone. Now, is that something they're doing because they want to gather data so they can improve the functionality of
Of course it
GPT-5?
is. Of course it is, yeah.
But then
And
on
it's
the other angle,
dinosaurs. It's dinosaurs.
but the other angle was that, okay, but people think that GPT-5 is a lot later in production. They're currently going through red teaming and pen tests. So we don't know. There's many different rumors, right?
Yeah. So, you know, the people are going to have asked themselves, I think, but anyone on the paid plan now, do you really need it? So it's a risky thing, but I think it is all around keeping themselves relevant. You know, Anthropic and Gemini and Llama, they're all starting to catch up. So they need to do something, and they definitely have done something that's going to keep people interested. The other thing is the GPTs are now free, so that's huge. So everyone can build their own GPTs, these own virtual assistants, and use the virtual assistants. So anyone who's been in the game of building these GPTs, that you've now got this huge audience made available to you. So it's going to be interesting to see whether people take that on and start, you know, using those GPTs, embedding them in their websites. It's now so easy, right? You can now create your own companies or your own personal GPT and embed it in your website, and it's free.
And then the barrier to
That's all
entry
it
is so much
is. There is
lower.
no
And
barrier.
even with some of these features, I think it was for developers, it's 50% cheaper, right,
Yeah.
to now run a GPT-4 in comparison to what it was with, sorry, GPT-4 4o in comparison to GPT-4 Turbo.
Yeah.
So they've made it a lot more accessible.
It is exactly. It's you know, they really given everyone a bit of a treat here. Anyone who was on the fence and you know, wasn't sure and they didn't want to part with $20 a month, you know, there's no excuse now. Those people who might have tried GPT 3 and or 3.5 and weren't that impressed, you know, there's another chance to dip your toe in the ocean. You know, there's nothing to lose. Just play around with it. And I've had to play with it myself since it's come out, and it's lightning fast, Yoshi.
It
Lightning
is
fast.
apparently it's 2 times faster.
Yeah.
But one thing I would say though, from my own experience, was that I was heavily relying on the GPT search to come out. And I was kind of holding on, committing to Perplexity. When
Yeah.
I found out that there wasn't going to be GPT search, I only bought my subscription to Perplexity. And whether or not I now go to the freemium model of ChatGPT, maybe unless something else comes out.
Well, I think they've had to make a call. Maybe their search isn't quite ready, and they just had to announce something. I mean, OpenAI will just never let Google steal their thunder. So they knew Google were presenting today, so I think they just felt they had to do something. But this Omni model, you know, it's everything. It's text, it's vision, it's voice, and it's both ways, isn't it? You can input with text, vision, or voice, and you can output in text, vision, and voice. And it's not just when we say vision. I mean, we'll talk about this a bit more in a bit. It's not just uploading pictures. You know, you can use the camera on the app. You can actually share your screen. So you can. This is getting the nearest thing to having a full-on virtual assistant at your side.
Yes. And like I said, going back to a few podcasts, but we mentioned Uncanny Valley, right? Because it feels unnatural. The way they have demonstrated or demoed the capabilities and the way the AI responds, it feels so organic, so natural. But we'll go into that into a bit more detail, but it is a game changer. I know I say that a lot, but this one is incredible. I've seen some of the use cases, people are trying it
Yeah.
out,
I feel
some
like
funny use
that.
cases.
I'm saying it's a game changer every week, and I'm thinking people must say, oh, but it is like that. There's another thing which changes the game yet again. This is without a doubt changed the game, and when we, especially when we talk about the voice feature in a minute. But just before we go into that, just some other kind of facts around it. You know, we said the 2 times faster, it's also available in 50 languages. You know, and the speed of that language capability is amazing. The data analytics is getting better. So they showed an example of them doing a mathematics equation and, you know, pointing your iPhone camera at it, and it was able to have a conversation with you. I'm thinking,
And
wow.
yeah, I mean that's it. I mean I saw someone who gave a zip file to the new model, and it had two CSV files, and it was just information on some superheroes and some of the powers. All the prompt they said was analyze this, visualize it, and do cases, right? It came up with some bottoms-up visualizations, distributions of genders among the superheroes, the top superpowers. It also then went into more said clustering analysis. And this was no directive from the user. It was just saying, look at this, analyze it, visualize it, and do some statistical analysis, and you get all of this. I mean, it's incredible. It is
So where is
incredible.
this going for the project professional, you know, productivity or project delivery? You know, this is just taking down another barrier. You're going to be at the point you can just upload some files and have a chat with your mate, the AI. You know, we're getting to that point. It's like HAL from 2001. Mm-hmm. It's like having a real-time assistant next to you. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the live demo that they did. So there was two aspects to it. They had the real-time conversation and then the vision. So let's talk about the real-time conversation first. I mean, you could always, well, not always, but for a long time, you could use voice. So you could press the little microphone button and you could talk to it, and then it would come back to you with an answer. But it was very, you know, first of all, there was a delay, there was latency whilst the thing thought about what it was going to answer you. And then it gave a response, and it was quite monotone, and it was very, you know, computer-like, I suppose, is the best way of describing it. And you couldn't interrupt it. What they showed, and we'll do a clip in a minute, and you know, it remains to be seen, because this bit isn't out yet. You know, this is going to come out in the coming weeks. It feels like talking to a human. So shall we just take a quick look? So
yeah,
we
can do it.
This really was quite a big difference. So let me find.
And while you look into that, James, I mean, the latency, they've reduced the latency of response hugely.
Yeah, and that's what's creating the difference, isn't it? It's the fact that you can have this real-time action with it. So
because there's no sense of loading. Here we go.
No, it doesn't sound like it. Let's just have a quick listen.
Named Bite.
Can you do this in a robotic voice now?
Initiating dramatic robotic voice once upon a time.
Can you end the story, but do it in a singing voice?
And may live circuitly ever after.
Bot Gaskar wants to know if GPT-4o is capable of real-time translation.
So we'll come to that in a minute, the real-time translation. But just that clip, you can see it's a different game, isn't it, from what they had before. This is something you feel the human emotion. You feel that kind of ability. And I think the response time is akin to a human response time.
Yeah, and it isn't just asking a question, waiting and seeing a small response. It's you can interrupt the AI, provide it more information, and it can take all of that context and work that within a working memory and come back to you with a holistic response. Like, it was like speaking to a person. Yeah. It is like speaking to a person.
It picks up on your emotion. That's the thing, is that, you know, if you've got an angry tone or you've got a surprised tone, it will pick up on that. And that is the essence. This is the thing that people thought, well, AI is never going to get there. Even HAL in 2001 didn't have that kind of emotional response. This feels like it's got a real emotional response. And apparently you can generate voices in different emotive styles as well. Mm. So you can, you know, depending on who you want to talk to. We're getting very close to something here, which is there was a film that you wanted to discuss, wasn't there?
Yeah. So I was on Twitter a while back before they actually made the release, and someone posted something about Her. And Her is a film featuring Jacqueline, and it's where he ends up developing a relationship, a very intimate relationship with an AI model. Mm. And the AI model itself is female within it. It's played by a female actress. But the interesting thing at the end of the film is he asked the AI, "So how many other people are you speaking to?" Mm. And then she says, "Thousands." And I found that really interesting, because I'm seeing on Twitter everyone saying, okay, oh, with AI, we could do those different things. It's expressed many different use cases. What about dating and all these different things, right? But I mean, if people want to try with it, they can. But it's going to be interesting to start to see this stuff. It's what films have been portraying for a long time. I mean,
well, you know, are you going to be, you know, there's a lot of loneliness as well. Then for some people, this is going to be, I'm sure people would start to develop attachments to these AIs in some kind of weird way. And the use cases are just huge, aren't they? I can imagine things for teaching, for counselling, you know, as well as what we're doing in project delivery, just having an assistant you can talk to. And the fact with the desktop app, you can, you know, we'll come to the vision capabilities in a minute, but you combine the voice with the vision capabilities and you can actually start showing this assistant things and having discussions with them.
It's a real-time assistant now, on demand.
Yeah. Well, this is what I thought Copilot was going to be, but it's funny how things don't always pan out. You know, this is going to be what I imagine Copilot, and maybe it still will be, but, you know, I thought we're going to have that key on the keyboard, the Copilot keyboard, and it will call up the assistant you can have a chat with. Maybe that's the way it's still going, but just interesting, it was going to start off on Mac first, and you're going to be able to have a key on the Mac, which is, I would imagine, is going to replace the Siri key. And you'll be able to...
But just to keep on that point, though, they mentioned Windows will come out in December.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
It's a lag.
It's a big wait. So maybe in regards to their their partnership with Microsoft, if they're working on something bigger, or that might encompass GPT-5, I'm not too sure. But on the other hand, we know that with Microsoft, Mustafa Solomon's working on his own developments. Well, so it all seems a bit connected, but also a bit discreet. I'm not too sure. It's very hard to predict.
We don't know who Google we're talking to. You know, all we know is when someone mentioned the AI arms race, we are banging it now because they are all trying to keep up with each other. It's all a little bit incestuous in terms of they've all got deals with each other and then with the other people. But there's two ways of looking at this. On the positive side, it's great for us as consumers because we're, you know, things are moving fast. On the other hand, it's a bit worrying. Are they paying due diligence to security, to, you know, misuse? Because they're going so fast at this, does it mean that, are they cutting corners? You know, who knows? Yeah.
And just keeping on that about misuse and security, remember, because now they have this desktop version, it's embedded by default into everything you do, and it's really easy to feed information. They're getting closer and closer into walking or being more intrusive, right, into your data. Mm. So if you're not careful with what you're sharing, it definitely elevates that risk of releasing PII data into the domain.
And of course, we've got the API for those, you know, a real-time connection, so people can start building this into their own solutions as well. But we've got to wait a little while for that. That hasn't come out straight away. The actual desktop app is going to be released anytime now, and the actual model is available straight away. But the conversational stuff is, they haven't given a time frame from it. I imagine a few weeks, Yoshi?
Yeah, I think it is a few weeks. I've seen.
And then the other bit was the vision capabilities, which, you know, this is the thing that I think is going to change workflows, because the vision capabilities, it allows you to use your camera. And as I said, there was a example of them doing an equation on a piece of paper and having a discussion with it. And I immediately thought, wow, for homework, you know, people sitting at home struggling with maths or struggling with whatever it is, being able to use this assistant to show them what they're doing and have a conversation with them. And it didn't just answer, it gave prompts, you know, it was saying, well, have you thought about, you know, have considered such and such, like a real teacher. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty mind-blowing. And then with the desktop app, as I mentioned before, you're going to be able to effectively, it's going to be able to see what you want it to see. So let's say, for instance, you've got a spreadsheet that you're looking at with your team and you're on a Teams call. You can effectively share that screen with your AI assistant, ask its opinion. It becomes another team member, right?
On call, yeah. You can do it like all
there
on
with
call.
You.
Yeah. And that's what the fascinating thing is. And the example that they showed, I'm not sure if this was showed in the actual video, but I did see them showcasing this. It was someone going through coding. They were coding
and they were just
showcasing it online, and it was speaking to what the code was. It was also giving it different outcomes. So I think one of them in there, they asked, okay, what function is being showed within this code? And then they said, okay, when we take this function out, what will the output look like? And it was giving them actual contextual answers if they change the code, and they hadn't even done it. So you can prototype and you can conceptualize without having to actually do anything through action. So you can get a good work with the scenarios in terms of what you're working on.
It's all mind-blowing, and it's quite a lot to take in. And I'm excited. I can't wait to get my hands on these things. We are going to have to wait a little while. But in the meantime, like I say, I have been using the model and using the vision capabilities. I took a picture of my son's room, for instance, and I said, please describe this. And they said, this looks like a typical student's bedroom. It's messy, but not abnormal. So my son quite enjoyed that. He said, I told you it's not that bad, Dad.
but I mean, there's a few things they actually didn't touch on in the demonstration, but I've seen circulating. So there's now the ability to create 3D rendered images.
Is there?
Through ChatGPT, yeah. And this was kind of, I think, shoved into the notes. And you can also logos and brand placement onto items.
Wow.
And you can do it. And then the other thing they've done is AI typically struggles with text on images. They've improved the ability to actually implement text on images.
Because that was always seamlessly. That was wrong. The six fingers on the...
Yeah. So text and images, you see, would always be a problem. But those things have all been massively improved. However, people are raving about the multimodal aspect of GPT-4o. But I have seen others mentioning that, yes, it's faster and it does perform well in reasoning and some multilingual tasks, live translation, good latency. People have reported reduced performance across other tasks, especially within coding.
Interesting. And, well, the thing is, you call it multimodal. They actually call it omnimodal, because previously it was multimodal, i.e. three, six models stitched together. You had GPT, you had DALL-E, and then you had the Whisper. This is a brand new model. So inevitably, there's going to be some trade-offs.
there'll be some trade-offs, and we're typically seeing that within coding tasks at the moment.
And don't forget, you know, I said this at the beginning, this is, however mind-blowing it is, this is a stopgap. They are definitely still working on GPT-5. So
there's more to come. And just sticking on that point, James, I've seen some discourse online about they've really not focused on this exponential improvement, but have focused on, like you said, the Omni model and these different features.
Refining, yeah.
Yeah, and refining. Now, is that an indication that GPT-5 is near? Or is that an indication that GPT-5 isn't near?
Who knows? Like I say, I think this was, they just had to get something out to beat Google to the game. You know, we'll report on the Google win out as well shortly. But, you know, who knows? You know, everyone was sure this was going to be search and it wasn't. So they've obviously kept their, they're very good at keeping things under wraps. In fact, I do recall OpenAI, you know, sacking quite a few people for leaking information. So they're very, very hot on keeping stuff under wraps.
Yeah, and I mean, and if we look at, and like you said at the start of this podcast, Jamie, we said that is it more or less than we expected? Well, if you look at the jobs that it's impacting, I've seen some jobs here, marketing that work with sentiment analysis, live meeting assistants, translation apps, language learning apps, music singing generation, tutoring apps, coding assistants, agent interaction, mental health, data science, customer service. These are all roles now which have transformed just because of this release. So even though it might not be what we were expecting, it has had a massive impact already.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. I'm pleased. I'm excited to use it. And like I say, in some ways, it's good because we know we've got more to come. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that was just a really quick catch up. We wanted to unpack what we thought. We've got an episode of our normal podcast dropping tomorrow. This is just to keep you all updated on GPT for Omni, as they're calling it, or 4.0. So until the next one, hope you enjoy this quick chat between me and Yoshi, and we'll see you on the next podcast. Bye, everyone.